Well, Father, I truly do thank you and I praise you and I give you all honor and all glory this morning for each and every person that came out to sit in your house to be fed fresh manna from your table. Father God, open up the spiritual ears so they can hear what thus saith the Lord this morning. And Father, I just ask you right now that you do a powerful work within your people. Amen. Father God, I know the atmosphere is already set. And I know the enemy's already been put on alert that he's going to change houses today. And Father, we just thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, God wants to talk about underlying anger. And I want each one of you to just really and truly think about this as you're listening to what God is saying. Ephesians 4:26 and 27 says, "In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. And do not give the devil a foothold." Then verses 30 through 32 says, "And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice." And I know this underlying anger is in the body of Christ. And I watch it, it rears its ugly head every opportunity it gets. And this is a time that God wants to deal with this. God said, "My people who are called by my name are committing sin day after day, and they call upon me and cannot figure out why they are not receiving from me." God says, "Children, you have an issue of heart that must be taken care of immediately. You have an issue of heart that must be taken care of immediately. If you do not take care of the heart will turn to stone and I can no longer work with it." Let's just stop there. I was reading something that Perry Stone had said, and he said, Perry Stone says your heart has a mind. And if people don't understand, they have to work with their heart and make their heart get right. And so God says, you have a heart issue. All right. God said, "I have spoken to you, children, many times about this subject, and as of this date, you have not heeded my call. You keep that spark glowing, and soon and very soon it will ignite into a full-blown flame that will consume your very nature." He's talking about the underlying anger. "That spark is meant to destroy first you and then everyone around about you. Why can you not give that underlying anger to me? Why is it that you think you have to hold on to it? Does my word tell you to be angry? Does not my word tell you to be angry and sin not? But you see, you keep that tiny spark of underlying anger in reserve, and one day it will be a full-blown flame that will start consuming and will not stop until it has totally consumed you and all those around about you." God said, "I cannot tolerate this underlying anger any longer. I will not tolerate a child who is called by my name, professing to be born again and filled with the Spirit, giving any part of themselves over to the enemy." My word tells you to be angry and sin not. In Ephesians 4:26, "Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath." In Ephesians 4:31 said, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice." God said, "But daily you continue to turn from me and fulfill the lust of the flesh. This world is full of anger, and it is consuming all that it touches. Do you not see what anger is doing throughout the land? Can you not comprehend the devastating effects it is having to all that it touches? Look no further, little ones, for I am speaking to each one of you individually, and I am asking each of you to forsake the underlying anger. Give it to me and walk in the love I have for you. I have been teaching you about my love, the love that surpasses all understanding. I have been teaching you to love your enemies, but you can't even love your brother and sister that you sit with in my houses. Take a look at Cain and Abel. Their situation went from anger to murder." And you find that in Genesis 4:1 through 16. went from anger to murder. Children, how much longer will you murder souls with your underlying anger? Give this anger to me this morning and walk in peace and love and restore. And let's stop there for a second. You know, it amazes me when I talk to a child of God, and when I'm talking to them, I say something to them and they instantly get angry. And they're not angry at me, but they're angry with what I said. And I'm not saying anything bad about them. I'm talking about a situation. I think, why do they do that? Why do they get angry like that? Why can't we just have a decent conversation about something? And why does the anger always have to come? Why is it there's always anger there? It's because those people have underlying anger, and that spirit will rise up anytime it feels like it. And it is destroying not only you, but everybody round about you, just as God said. Then I said, we need to understand that wrath and bitterness are not pleasing to God, and the presence of anger should serve as an alarm that something is wrong. Feelings of anger should lead us to respond to a situation or offense with wisdom and forgiveness so that we do not develop an angry, vengeful spirit. Let's read that again. We need to understand that wrath and bitterness are not pleasing to God, and the presence of anger should serve as an alarm that something is wrong. Feelings of anger should lead us to respond to a situation or offense with wisdom and forgiveness so that we do not develop an angry, vengeful spirit. Our scripture states in Ephesians 4:26, and we're going to read this again, "Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Neither give place to the devil. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." We do not follow that scripture. We do not walk in the love of Christ the way we should. And we do have that underlying anger there, and it rears its ugly head up every chance it gets. It is time this morning, I want you to really think about what's going on, because God wants to free you of that. It's time this morning for you to take stock of what's going on in your life and understand that until you get rid of that underlying anger, that you're never going to be free and God is never going to be able to use you. I don't care what you do for God. He cannot use you if you have that anger. The root cause of underlying anger is tension from past hurts and guilt. The root cause of underlying anger is tension from past hurts and guilt. This mixture of pain and guilt is cumulative and it erupts in anger when new offenses remind us of past experiences. And you can say amen to that, right? This mixture of pain and guilt is cumulative and it erupts in anger when new offenses remind us of past experiences. Most people assume that hurtful events in the past will be forgotten and will have no effect on the future, and that is not true. At this point, you have what God is calling a spirit of underlying anger. All right, what are visible signs of an angry spirit? And we're going to talk about evidence of anger and signals of an inner struggle with wrath. Anger is hard to hide, period. A person who struggles with unresolved anger and wrath will demonstrate a variety of behaviors that indicate their inner battle. Even though an angry person might deny having a problem with anger, those closest to him or her, spouse, children, co-workers, will attest to seeing the evidence of anger in his or her behavior. Let's read that again. Anger is hard to hide. A person who struggles with unresolved anger and wrath will demonstrate a variety of behaviors that indicate their inner battle. Even though an angry person might deny having a problem with anger, and I have run across many right here in Lighthouse Church who deny that they have a problem with anger, but we all see it. You know, people who know you see it, but yet you don't see that you even have a problem. All right, as we read the following list, Consider your own life and discern if you often demonstrate a wrathful spirit. Irritability. Anger causes a person to become irritated with situations and circumstances that would not bother him otherwise. Impatience. Anger reduces tolerance for the weaknesses and limitations of others. An angry person often demands an instant response to his instructions, and he becomes upset if his instructions are not understood and applied. Raised voice. Angry impatience is usually expressed by a harsh, loud voice. All right, glaring eyes. Anger affects the facial features and empowers a penetrating glare, pronounced frown, furrowed brows, tense facial muscles, flushed complexion, prominent veins, and enlarged pupils. Hurtful words. An angry heart will spew out unkind words of complaint, hatred, ridicule, and rejection. That is one we hear all the time. Hurtful words. An angry heart will spew out unkind words of complaint, hatred, ridicule, and rejection. Explosive actions. Anger puts extra force into simple actions like closing a door or setting something down. Slam goes door, bam goes the thing you sit down, right? Haphazardly throwing things or pushing things around often indicates unresolved anger. Relational breakdown. An angry person will usually close his heart to those who offend or hurt him. This rejection is demonstrated by silence, poor eye contact, or avoidance. Y'all can say amen to all these things. Attitudes of superiority. Wounded pride can stir up contentious anger that motivates a person to challenge opinions, ideas, or instructions of others, especially of those in authority. Attitudes of superiority. Wounded pride can stir up contentious anger that motivates a person to challenge opinions, ideas, or instructions of others, especially of those in authority. Physical tension. Now this, I go through this every now and then. Anger causes the jaw muscles to tighten, which brings great pressure on the teeth when they come together and leads to clenching or grinding one's teeth. You've gone through that, right? All right. Anger also causes a more rapid heartbeat, thus requiring more oxygen through heavy breathing. Anger's release of adrenaline causes the heart to pump faster and veins to become enlarged. Let's take a look at what character qualities counter anger. We're going to talk about keys to anger resolution and character qualities that make a difference. Patience. Patience helps us learn to see irritations and trials from God's point of view. Patience. The body of Christ doesn't know what that word means. It accepts a difficult situation without demanding that it be resolved according to a certain timetable. Y'all don't do that either. According to Romans 5:3-5, the situations that normally prompt anger are designed to develop our patience. And Romans 5 says, we glory in tribulations. No, you don't. We glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Tribulations, we glory in tribulations also. I wish we could all say that and with all honesty, 24/7, right? Long suffering. Patience puts up with inadequacies in others. That long-suffering all responds to the willful or repeated hurts that we experience. A long-suffering person can endure a prolonged, difficult situation without becoming irritated or angry. Mercy. Anger is a means of punishing those who have wronged us, but mercy withholds the punishment that an offender deserves. See that? We should be motivated to be merciful to others when we consider the awful punishment we would face if God gave us what we deserved. And how many of you you're like me, you think about that when you're upset with somebody. You think, well, God, there's many times that you could have been upset with me and you weren't. You showed me long sufferance and patience, right? Kindness. Kindness is doing good things for others, whether they deserve it or not. It is consistently treating every person with equal cheerfulness and helpfulness, just as God sends rain and sunshine to the just and the unjust. Kindness is doing good things for others, whether they deserve it or not. Matthew 5:43 says, there is a saying, this is Jesus speaking, there is a saying, love your friends and hate your enemies. But I say, love your enemies, pray for those who persecute you. In that way you will be acting as true sons of your Father in heaven. For he gives his sunlight to both the evil and the good, and sends rain on the just and on the unjust too. If you love only those who love you, what good is that? Even scoundrels do that much. If you are friendly only to your friends, how are you different from anyone else? Even the heathen do that. But you are to be perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. So, can you follow that scripture? You know, Body of Christ, we're going to have to do this if we're going to be using this end time dispensation. We just are. We're just going to have to get rid of all of our old flesh and respond the way Jesus would respond. Kindness responds to offenses by discerning an offender's needs and making an effort to meet them. Kindness responds to offenses by discerning an offender's needs and making an effort to meet them. Gentleness. Anger is harsh, insensitive, and damaging. Gentleness is gracious and understanding, even under pressure. Gentleness looks beyond the present circumstances and focuses on the feelings of others. Forgiveness. Forgiveness is sincerely responding to an offender with mercy. Forgiveness is sincerely responding to an offender with mercy. When you remember how much God has forgiven you, you're able to forgive others. See, and I don't believe the body of Christ ever remembers that. I really don't. James 1:19 says, dear brothers, don't ever forget that it is best to listen much, speak little, and not become angry. So James says, dear brothers, don't ever forget that it is best to listen much and speak little and not become angry. For anger doesn't make us good, as God demands that we must be. So get rid of all that is wrong in your life, both inside and outside, and humbly be glad for the wonderful message we have received, for it is able to save our souls as it takes hold of our hearts. We need to understand that the enemy wants the body of Christ to walk in underlying anger. If he can keep us there, our love walk is tainted and God cannot use us for his glory. If he can keep us there, our love walk is tainted and God cannot use us for his glory. This morning we need to honestly analyze our anger to determine whether it is righteous, sinful, or mixed. Is it righteous, sinful, or mixed? Now, righteous anger stems from an anger that arises when we witness an offense against God or his word. Sinful anger is so common in us that we must be regularly reminded to put away anger, wrath, and malice. Sinful anger often leads us to forceful, even violent action directed at the source of real or perceived harm. Sinful anger often leads to forceful, even violent action directed at the source of real or perceived harm. Body of Christ, if you're going to be like Jesus, then you're going to have to forgive those who persecute you. You're going to forgive those who don't follow the rules. You're going to have to be long-suffering and merciful. You're going to have to quit making excuses while you're ignorant. And when you're angry, you're ignorant, and you have to quit making excuses for that. God's word tells in Psalm 37:8, refrain from anger and turn from wrath. Do not fret, it leads only to evil. Anger and wrath only turns to evil. Why do you think all the shooting and everything's going on in the world? So much anger in the world. Anger everywhere. Ephesians 4:31, get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. And Colossians 3:8 says, but now you must also rid yourselves of all such things as these, anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Ephesians 4:26, in your anger do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. How may you go to bed angry at your kids, or go to bed angry at your parents, or go to bed angry at your spouses, or go to bed angry at God or at the world? You know, you let the sun go down in your wrath, and the enemy has something to build on while you're sleeping. We need to stop this. We need to get rid of the anger, and we need to let love control us at all times. All right, this morning God wants to deal with this underlying anger. But before you can deal with anger, you must recognize that you have anger, that it is sin, and that you are responsible for it. And the most important thing is to first face the fact that we all struggle with anger. As humans, we naturally react emotionally to distressing situations. Second, find it. After facing it, we must find the root of the anger that is lodged deep within us. Common roots of anger include fear, pain, and frustration. You have to find out why you're angry all the time. God can't free you from it if you won't face it and let Him pull it up out of you. All right. This morning, we want to deal radically and decisively with all of our sinful anger. And God said, children, how much longer will you murder souls with your underlying anger? Give this anger to me this morning. Walk in peace and love, and then restore. The body of Christ is supposed to be a hospital that heals. But the body of Christ is not a hospital that heals. The body of Christ is a hospital that when someone's down, we kick them. Or if they're not down, we make sure we push them down with our anger and our strife and our bitterness. I would really like for each one of you, as you sit here this morning, to really check yourself, examine yourself. Why are you angry all the time? Why is it that every day somebody gets you upset? You're frustrated in life all the time. Why are you frustrated in life all the time? It's because you're angry all the time. And we can't blame this on other people. Other people can't make you react. You react because you want to. You want to because you're angry. And so this gives you an excuse to react. So we have to, before we can walk in love the way God wants us to, we're going to have to get rid of all this underlying junk. And what you think about this, how are you going to help somebody else if you're all right, Brother Mark, the people in the street are angry, aren't they not? They're very angry, aren't they? And so if you're angry, you can't help them. You have to be walking in peace so that you can help them and tell them what's going on in their life. He works with a lot of drug people, alcoholics, prostitutes, and they're angry. And because of things that have gone on in their life, things they can't help, and they can't get their life together, so they're angry. Now, I know I work with these people too, and they get more angry every day. Until God gets them straight, they're going to stay angry. But ministers of the gospel shouldn't be angry. We shouldn't. We could have the righteous anger. Okay, you need to straighten, do this, in your household, or even in the body of Christ, if you're the pastor, the people need to do certain things. But we shouldn't walk around being angry all the time. None of the time, really. We should be grown up enough that where we can get our problems straightened out, and so we can move on and help others. And I've seen too many pastors who are angry and the congregation is angry, and the church grows, but it isn't growing spiritually. It just grows. You just have more angry people joining the group. So I really want you people this morning, right now, before God does his ministering, I want you to think really hard. You know, you might have to go to somebody in this room this morning and say, you know, I'm really sorry I was angry with you. Yeah. I had to do that to my first husband when he left me. I had to tell him, yeah, I'm really sorry that I was angry with you and I talked about you. Even though I didn't do anything else, but I was angry with what he did. You know, you might just have to do that. You husbands might have to go to your wife and say, yeah, I'm really sorry that I caused you to be angry because I didn't treat you right. Or vice versa. You know, these things go both ways. It just doesn't go one way. And God said, if you're a true child of God, you will go and ask people to forgive you for the hurt you heaped upon them to cause them to have an angry spirit. So where are you at truly in your heart? Are you at the place where God can really come into your heart, really work on it and change it and rearrange it, and make you a true child of God? Or are you just going to go floundering around and be angry and God will never be able to use you? Come on. All right, have you said, God, I'm a guilty one? I'm guilty of having underlying anger and I want to get rid of it this morning. I don't want to carry it no longer. You know, God said what he wants to do really is yank that anger out of you this morning. He wants to set you free, so that you can go forth and you can minister in love and in peace. And instead of you being an angry person and just feeding the anger in another person, you'll be a loving person. And you'll be able to, that love in you will counteract that anger in somebody else. Some of you have been a long time with the Father and you're still angry. Why is that? He's asking you, why is that? That you've been so long with the Father and you're still angry. Because really, if you trust God, you're not going to be angry. If you truly trust God, you're not going to be angry because you know that God says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. And you don't have to look for vengeance. You just keep loving and I will take care of your enemies. Isn't that what he says? Come on. So what is your problem this morning? What is your problem this morning? God really wants you to think about this really hard, because really and truly, God does want to set the captives free here this morning. Now, look, when you come up here, I don't want you just to come up here because you think it's a good idea. I want you to come up here because you truly want to be free, never to walk in anger again when you walk out that door.